response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show from our flagship station in Buffalo. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Benson hammered to the ice there as Edmondson stood him up and sat him down to the net. Scores! Carrick drives the net. Sam Carrick continues to score on this trip, and the Buffalo Sabres take the lead at 2-1. And how about Benson taking the hit to make the play?
Yes, Zach Benson did a nice setup for Sam Carrick for what ends up being the game-winning goal for Buffalo. Our goal of the game brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. Welcome into another post-game show where we ho-hum talk about another Sabres win. Where they're better in the third and their goaltending is great and blah, blah, blah. This is getting boring, right? Yeah, I mean, 14 seasons of me doing post-game shows times 82 games where we sat here and like, well, who are they going to draft? Well, should they tank? Should we fire the coach? Do we have the right GM? Like, we were doing those and suddenly we're not here. What a turnaround. Another win tonight. For the Sabres in LA against the Kings, 4-1 the final. A very, very good third period for Buffalo. Carrick, Dahlin, and Benson all get goals in the third, and the Sabres now on the road have gone 12-0-1 in their last 13 games on the road. That's the best clip in team history in a 13-game road stretch, and also out of the Olympic break, which ironically enough is also 13 games. They've had some home, they've had some road. They're 12-1. Since the Olympic break. And that loss was a 2-1 loss to Washington, which, yeah, I mean, geez, you know, you think you only give up two, you got a chance to win. I mean, it literally could be like 13-0 here coming out of the Olympic break. But nevertheless, Buffalo comes through. And, you know, there's a moment in the game there where that goal of the game there, Benson takes the hit. We know Benson's willing to do whatever it takes, and he gets Carrick the puck. But LA challenges. And they are thinking, is it a high stick that Benson hits? And it's close, I thought, but I was kind of, you know, thinking, I don't know, Benson also, I didn't think Benson put his stick up that high, but Benson is shorter, so maybe it appears to be a little bit higher because of the fact that, you know, on him, it looks like it's up higher. But nevertheless, it counts, which then leads to a Buffalo power play and the killer instinct of this team in the third period. It ends up leading to a goal. Buffalo only got one opportunity on the power play the whole night, and they only needed 59 seconds to do it, and they score. And it's Dahlin. Zucker, I know, you know, Dan and Rob, and a lot of us maybe thought that Zucker got a piece of that, but he's doing the work in the crease that ultimately leads to what is a credited Dahlin goal for his 15th of the season. So everybody doing their part. Benson taking the hit. Carrick going to the net. Zucker battling in the crease. You've got the goaltending, obviously, getting it done. It was Lukanen's turn today. It'll be Lyon's turn tomorrow in Anaheim. This team just continues to get it done in the clutch moments, and they pick up another victory here today, which for Buffalo will be their 44th win of the season. It'll be their 37th regulation win. And now Buffalo has 94 points. In terms of point total, they're tied with Carolina. Both the Sabres and the Canes have 94 points. Carolina does, though, by points percentage, have the edge because of one less game played. But again, another incredible stretch for the Sabres. They now match their home win total. Buffalo in 44 wins, 22 at home, 22 on the road. And they'll look to make it 23 in a row again tomorrow as they close out this four-game Western trip. They'll be in Anaheim to face the Ducks at 8 p.m. Eastern. All right, we're going to have locker room interviews coming up with Paul Hamilton, and we'll also, of course, get Lindy Ruff and his live post-game comments. Let's get your three stars brought to you by Blue Star Home Services, your heating and cooling experts, ready to improve your home's comfort game plan. Get started at bluestarhs.com. All Sabres on the star sheet, deservedly so. Luukkonen, star number three with 26 saves. Carrick with the game-winning goal, star number two. And Tage Thompson, he had his 36th of the season. He also had an assist, so a two-point game for Tage Thompson. He is star number one. And you heard at the end of the game, there were some loud cheers from Sabre fans in the building. It did not seem like a loud game at Crypto.com Arena in terms of like the energy in the building. You know, sometimes it's tougher. Obviously, it's a road game. I'm not there. The home game's at KeyBank Center. I can give you a much more good perspective on that because I'm in the building. But for road games, I'm not. It just felt like, from the audio of the broadcast, like this, the building was not that much of a buzz. It was a 1 o'clock game in L.A. on a Saturday. I mean, we can ask Paul about it a little bit later on. But really, some of the loudest cheers we heard were at the end when the Sabres were obviously celebrating and the Sabre fans in the stands were celebrating as well. So Buffalo now becoming a draw on the road for fans, too. You know, if you're in the area, you live out of town, like, hey, how can we find ourselves to a game? I'm guessing there will be some Sabre fans there tomorrow in Anaheim, too. All right, Tage Thompson up first, live with Paul.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi, I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Tage, right after they got their power play goal, it seemed like you guys really started to get an offensive flow going and started to get some opportunities, cause some turnovers, and from there on, you seemed okay.
Yeah, I think we were a little stubborn to start the game. I thought we were trying to force plays to the middle of the ice a little bit too much, and obviously got ourselves into a little bit of trouble there. I think once we kind of found our legs and started playing a little more simple, just putting pucks behind them, we started to feel it and, you know, hem them in their D zone a little bit, and from there we were able to roll some lines over and I think just wear them down. I think, you know, you see that in the third. Just kind of kept chipping pucks out, chipping pucks in, and, you know, making their team, you know, skate full 200 feet, you know, all the way into our end and all the way back into theirs. So just took us, you know, 10 minutes to find it.
You guys have to make plays in the third period to win a game. What does it say about Benson to make that play on the wall, really, to set up the winning goal?
Yeah, I mean, those are the plays that add up over the course of the game. You know, it's the type of group that we have is guys that are selfless, that put their body on the line, you know, for the betterment of the team, and that's an example right there. He sees he's going to get, you know, crushed there and takes the hit, makes a play, and, you know, results in the game winner. So, you know, awesome play by Benny, and we had guys doing that, you know, all throughout the lineup, and I think that's why we've been winning.
Hey, on your goal, I don't even know if you have time to think. Is that just reaction? That, I mean, when we look at it, you probably would have banged the puck right back in his pads, but you have the savvy to pull it around him and get it in. I don't know, do you even have time to think, or is that just a reaction?
I mean, yeah, a little time. I mean, it's definitely not premeditated. It's just kind of reactionary, but yeah, Krebsy, you know, great forecheck, which starts the whole play off, and then good reload by him too, and puts one on net, and I kind of get lost in front there, and just kind of felt like he was challenging me out of his net pretty far, taking the angle down, and just thought of trying to tuck it behind him.
You got goals in back-to-back games. I mean, you had a little dry spell there, but you were getting opportunities still, so did you feel much different in those games the puck wasn't going in?
No, to be honest, I mean, obviously, you know, you'd like to score and put up points and all that stuff, but I thought the process of, you know, the game, the defensive side of the puck, and you know, all the things that don't really show up on the stat sheet, I thought I really liked about my game, and you know, when you're getting chances, you're doing stuff right. So it's when you're not getting those looks, and then if you're not getting looks at all, then how can you know help the team win? And I thought, you know, our line in particular has been pretty good defensively. Obviously, we can continue to get better and clean things up, but yeah, it was nice to, you know, get a couple last two games.
You guys obviously have been getting great goaltending, but what is the defensive process of this team like at this point in time where you've given up one goal as a group in three games?
Yeah, I mean, I think guys are really buying in, and I think it's, you know, less X's and O's and more just will and determination. You know, you go over the boards, not letting that line that you're out there against, you know, generate anything. I think it's just maturity in our game with the puck. Obviously, we can continue to get better at that, but, you know, I think lately we've been really strong in puck battles and at our blue line and their blue line, making smart puck decisions, making sure we're not giving them free offense. And when you do that against other teams, it's frustrating to play against. And, you know, we've been on the other side of that before and it sucks. So I think when you're out there making an emphasis on just trying to take time and space away from their, you know, their skill guys, you know, that's a frustrating brand of hockey to play against.
When you talk to
getting a 40 goal scorer with Sam Carey,
I mean, he's been awesome for us. All the guys that have come over, you know, have been great. But Carey, yeah, he's unbelievable in the faceoff dot. Obviously, our team isn't great in the dot, and that's something we can get better at. But you know, he comes in right away, takes big draws, and PK is physical. He'll fight, and he's producing for us too. I mean, I think our fourth line has been arguably one of our best lines every single night. You know, just the way they skate and the way they're hard on pucks, and it's nice to see them getting rewarded too for it.
Is one of those plays you're talking about defensively, they had a 3-on-2, you just put your head down and just skated, and you made it into a 3-on-3, they got nothing out of it. Is that the type of play you're talking about, where just you just got back as hard as you could?
No, I mean, I think we have things in here that are you know, part of our MO, and you know, we have a slogan that everybody ropes, everyone rides. It's kind of means there's no job that's too big or small for you to do out there. And you know, I think when everyone out there is doing those little things, you know, that aren't very pretty, but that show the guy next to you that you care about winning, it's infectious. And you know, I think everyone in the room is doing it, and that just bleeds throughout the lineup.
Thanks, Tate Thompson on the post game, and we do have. Nope, we're gonna start back to you, Brian. I finish interview, so we'll get Uko Pekkanen in just a moment. So back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you. Tage Thompson, as we heard there, getting goals now in two consecutive games. His 36th of the season is what got Buffalo on the board first. The first of four in a row. Sam Carrick with his 9th. Rasmus Dahlin with his 15th. Zach Benson with his 8th. It all adds up to a 4-1 Buffalo victory today over the Kings. Love what Thompson said right there. He's like, hey, one of our slogans inside is, quote, everybody ropes, everybody rides. Like, that's nice. Says it's infections right now that everybody cares about winning. That's a cool line right there. You know, we had the T-shirts going around with the beers. How about that one? Everybody ropes, everybody rides. You want to get a T-shirt going for that one? That's a pretty cool statement. Everybody getting in on that. And yes, it is infectious that everybody cares about winning. When you start to build these up, when you start to get it going, and people are buying in, and now like the roller coaster is in the momentum, like you can't stop it. Just look how they're playing their defensive zone. You know, he said, guys, they're so mature in terms of how they're playing the puck. That's now another player we've heard with that decision with the puck, winning puck battles. We keep seeing this all the time. You know, Carrick, we saw it a few times. Krebs early in the third period had that sequence where he won like 3 puck battles to keep the play going for him. Very, very impressive stuff. In this 4-1 victory here tonight. They'll look to keep the winning ways going tomorrow in Anaheim against the Ducks. That's an 8 o'clock Eastern start. It'll be 5 out of the West Coast, and we'll have the pregame on our flagship on WGR starting at 7. Again, we are going to have more from the locker room, so stay right here on the postgame. Here's Uko Pekkalukinen now, live with Paul.
It's always such a curveball when they ask me.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Uko Pekkalukinen. And Uko, just a rocket that they did score on it, but the only one they got. And it seemed like that your team kicked it in right afterwards. You guys started to put some offensive pressure on. You started causing turnovers. And it seemed from that point forward, and that's, as I said, the only one you gave up. Everybody seemed to kick it in after that.
Yeah, I think they were ready for us. I think every team is now ready to play us. They know, you know, I feel like they were, I don't want to say more ready than we were, but we were kind of playing it to them at the start. But I feel like after the first goal they scored, we kind of, as you said, we turned it on. We were able to create some offense and, you know, got to our own game.
Three goals three games, one goal against for the team speaks to goaltending, but it also speaks to the whole defensive effort. What do you see from this group, the way they track back on pucks, the way you're just not giving up odd man rushes, just from the whole defensive effort?
Yeah, I think today is a perfect example. Of course, you know, Al has been playing great. I've been, you know, confident with my game too, but I don't think they created that, you know, scary chances other than, you know, on the power play. So I feel like it's decoys playing, but how well our forwards are tracking back and helping the decoy and the, you know, goalies too. So it's a full team effort, and, you know, I think it's shows in the scoreboard too.
You did get a big one right in the first 10 seconds. Does that get you in the game when you have to make a big save like that, like right off the bat?
Yeah, it does, and you're always happy with those. As I said, you know, that's the biggest thing for me. I want to help the team win, and that's kind of, you know, as a goalie, you can't take a shift off, or usually it shows on the scoreboard. So you always, you know, feels good to kind of get, you know, the first one or the bigger one in, start of the game, and, you know, help the, you know, team to mentally, you know, be more stable.
Is there sort of a friendly competition with you and Alex right now? Like, you get a shutout, he gets a shutout, you give up one. Like, is it fun just try to one-up each other each time?
Yeah, it's fun to play with him. You know, he's been awesome this season, and, you know, of course, that kind of you want to learn from him. You want to push forward yourself too. You know, I don't think there's, you know, anything too crazy going on. But as I said, you always want to, you know, give your team a good performance, especially when Alex is playing well too. So, you know, overall, it's been, you know, good rotation we have going on.
Thank you, Uko. Back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Uko Pekka-Luukkonen right there. Yes, the rotation, I'll correct Uko. He says it's a good rotation. I'll say it's a phenomenal rotation. It is just working tremendously well. And it'll be Lions' turn tomorrow when the Sabres play in Anaheim against the Ducks. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, the stats here, just tremendous here, what's been coming as of late. Luukkonen now in these road games. More in a moment on the stats. Back to the room. Sam Carrick, live with Paul.
Thanks, Brian. Sam, just a lot of work by Zach Benson. He, as you, I think, have already figured out, he'll always take a hit to make a play, and he did that on your goal.
Yeah, guys seem to want to take runs at him. It's part of his MO, I guess, which is he's good at that. You know, he draws guys into him. I think that's a couple times now where he's drawn a couple guys into him and made a little slip play to me. Yeah, it's fun to play when you got guys willing to take hits like that to make plays.
As soon as Edmondson stepped up, did you recognize you might have a chance to go to the net there once Benson got the puck to you?
Yeah, I knew Benny was going to try to make a play for sure. I saw both their guys go to him, and you know, he did a good job of not turning it over. You know, those are sometimes late in games you want to get those deep, and he did just that. He got it deep and put it in a good place where I could just skate onto it.
And you saw that you were going to be able to cut in front and go on the back end there.
Yeah, I knew Mal was kind of going back door, so yeah, their D kind of took him away. That was my first option, was to find him, and when I saw he was not taking an option, and eventually it was just to take it to the net.
It seemed like after the bowl against, you guys got a lot of turnovers. LA maybe making them do that. What was different that got you guys rolling?
Yeah, I think, you know, they got off to a good start. You know, it's their home building. They're fighting for points right now, like everyone. So, you know, we knew they were going to come in hot, and they did. And we did a pretty good job just weathering that storm and getting back to wearing them down. And you know, we know kind of what kind of style of game they play. And once we kind of settled in, got our legs, then you know, we were able to just generate more chances.
You know, what's the mindset of your line? You guys are physical. You want to control the puck. You get the puck in deep, but you guys are going to score. You're looking to the net, looking to score. What is that like, confidence-wise, for you guys to be going to that, looking to put pucks in?
Yeah, I think you're always looking to score for sure. First and foremost, we want to be just a tough line to play against, defensively responsible. You know, we're not going to be a run and gun line. You know, we got some offensive weapons on our team that, you know, we'll rely on them a lot for a lot of that stuff. But, you know, if we can just do our job, you know, shut down other teams, and chip in offensively whenever we can, then, you know, that's great.
Of course, goaltending is big when you leave games, but what are some of the other factors? Because it takes more than just goaltending.
Yeah, goaltending's been great. I mean, I think our D have really surprised me with just how well we can break the puck out with them. You know, they go back for pucks a lot. They're just so good at, you know, shoulder checking, reading what the forecheck is, and then just figuring out a way to escape it. It just makes it so much easier on us forwards. You know, when we know, you know, we give them a little hold up, make sure they got some time, but just give them options. And, you know, when you can break it up, break the puck out like that, you can really frustrate the other team's forecheck. And, you know, I've been on the other side of that where, you know, when you can't get your forecheck going, you get pretty frustrated and you start to take chances. And that's when we can, you know, turn those chances into offense.
It's a back-to-back going back to Anaheim. How does that make you reflect every time you go back on your career and how you sort of established yourself in the league?
Yeah, it's obviously where I kind of, you know, established myself, like you said. A lot of great memories there. You know, I spent the better part of 7 years in Southern California here. So, people here are doing well, and obviously a big game for both teams tomorrow.
Post game, Brian, back to you.
All right, thank you very much, Paul. We apologize. I know that was cutting in and out a little bit toward the end, but Sam Carrick, you got the most of it there, getting set to take on the Ducks tomorrow, where he spent a lot of his time. So we'll get a chance to evaluate or talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. But Carrick now up to 9 goals. What an acquisition from Jarmo Kekalainen at the trade deadline. All of our locker room reports, they're brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? All right, stay right here. We're going to have Lindy Ruff coming up in just a moment, and then we'll get Paul Hamilton's final take. While we wait for the Sabres head coach, let's get some final stats in from the game. It's brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Final shot totals in the third, the Sabres more than double the Kings total, 13-6 in the third period and 33-27 in the game. Buffalo has the edge. Power plays, the Sabres only had one opportunity. They scored 1-of-1. The Kings went 1-of-3. Their lone goal came from Panarin. That's what opened the scoring back at 10:48 of the first period. Luukkonen gets the win, 27 shots, 26 saves. Anton Forsberg, the loss, 32 shots, 29 saves. The 33rd shot went into the empty net. The attendance at Crypto.com Arena was 18,145. And again, I thought it was pretty quiet in there for the most part. I noticed the Sabre fans at the end. All right, some individual stats here along the way. Let's talk about, how about guys with multiple points? Well, that's Zach Benson. 1 goal, 1 assist, 2 points, a plus 2, 1 shot on goal, 2 takeaways in 15-16. So a workmanlike effort for Zach Benson. He's the only Sabre at multiple points there, although Tage Thompson did have a goal and an assist. I wonder if they took one away from him. I'll have to check on that. This updated score sheet now just says 1 goal. Nevertheless, for Thompson, 5 shot attempts, 3 shots on goal. Tuck led the way with shots, though. He had 4 amongst the Sabres, 32. Tuck playing 20.06, a plus 1 today. No Sabre was a minus on the ice there at all. The Buffalo goal against was when they were short-handed. Dahlin a plus 2, Malenstein a plus 2, Stanley a plus 2. I already mentioned Benson was a plus 2. Dahlin led overall in ice time, 23.07. Byram was second with 22.20. On the Kings side of things, Jared Wright led the way, 4 shots. Alex Lafreniere ends up with 5 hits in the game. Lafreniere had that opportunity 9 seconds into the game, and that was a big stop from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. All right, while we wait for Lindy here, let's take a look at the standings. So Buffalo now, in their 70th game, picks up their 44th win of the season. 44, 20-6, 94 points. They have a 6-point edge on the Tampa Bay Lightning for first place in the Atlantic. Tampa plays tonight, so you have an assignment. Get ready at 10. Got to root for the Oilers. Tampa Bay at Edmonton, 10 p.m. tonight. That's the doubleheader Hockey Night in Canada game. So there you go. You can watch that tonight and root for Edmonton. If you're thinking about, you know, okay, are you still, oh my God, is there any way the Sabres could miss the playoffs? Well, right now they have an 11-point edge on the first team out of the playoffs, which is currently the Islanders with 83. Oh, they have 11 points there with Just 12 games left. So, yes, it's getting closer and closer to the end. The Sabres are really, really looking good here. 94 points, obviously, everything trending towards hitting triple digits. They've got a plus 45 goal differential right now. Pretty impressive stuff. Here's Lindy Ruff live in L.A. with Paul.
Lindy, you're in a tie game in the third period, and Zach Benson makes basically what I would call a winning play. Just what does that say about the way you guys find ways to win and do things like that in that spot?
Yeah, the play he made was a big-time play. Took the hit, you know, kind of controlled the puck a little bit, and then, you know, allowed Carrick to come in and grab it and take it to the net. And he took it to the net with authority.
Lindy, once you guys gave up the one goal, it seemed like you started causing turnovers. You got into the offensive zone. A lot of things changed for the better. What did change for you?
Well, I thought their compete was better than ours early on. I thought the first 10 minutes, the first period, they won more of the 50-50s. The face-off circle, we were terrible. You know, so now we're chasing the puck around. But I thought they came after us as hard as they could, and they had the edge for a while. And we talked about teams being ready for enough. We're not getting taken for granted. The way we've been playing, there's teams that want to try to knock us off. We got to be ready for it.
So how did you flip it, though? As I said, you caused a lot of turnovers.
Competed harder, got the pucks quicker. I thought we got over pucks. And not a real hard answer to that. It's just you got to get into people. When you do that, you can win the battles.
It seemed like Owen Power was really on his game with the breakouts and the puck possession. What do you like about his game?
I thought he moved it well when he went back for pucks. I thought he was able at times to skate away. I thought sometimes physically use his size to get away from people. But I thought a lot of his reads on whether to move it quickly or buy just a little bit of time were really good.
You talked about Carrick going to the net with authority, and we've seen that this year from Malenstein. He had some great goals. Those guys aren't there to be offensive players. What does it say when your fourth line is thinking about getting chances and putting the puck in the net?
Yeah, I mean, that line's done a great job. I mean, you look at Carrick's got five goals with us now, and the plays they made, even the, you know, Mel's big block with the goalie out, which allowed, you know, Benson to get his goal. We're getting a great effort from all, you know, all four lines. Where, you know, if there's a line that's struggling, maybe you know, another line can pick up the slack.
Thanks, Lindy. Thank you. Lindy Ruff on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, some kind words from Lindy there about the fourth line. Yeah, they're contributing with goals, block shots, making plays, winning battles, and then, you know, he went on to say, yeah, all they're getting a great effort from all four lines, and I would agree. Sabres victorious by a score of 4-1, 12-0-1 on the road in their last 13, 12-1 since the Olympic break. They'll look to keep it going tomorrow in Anaheim against the Ducks. All right, back to Crypto.com Arena in L.A., where Paul Hamilton is. We'll get his final take here now. Paul, another third period where the Sabres just take command. This time, they had to grab the lead first before they really did it, but let's go to that game-winning goal. Benson makes the play, takes the hit to get it to Carrick, and then Carrick obviously doesn't have an easy job. He still has to go and finish.
Yeah, that's a pretty slick goal. I like that goal. I mean, yeah, that was a good job by him to head to the net and be able to do that. I love what Thompson did on his goal. You know, just to know that, yeah, if he just tries to go for the rebound, he probably just slams it back in his pad. So why not just make a gorgeous move, you know, that a goal scorer is going to make. That's a goal scorer's goal, you know, and to be able to score that goal. And I thought, you know, this, even in the first period, I thought they took over. You know, we talked about it after I spoke with Logan Stanley. You know, they just started winning battles. They started making Panarin and the Kings turn the puck over, which was getting them frustrated, you know, and all those things that the Sabres can do. And it's like, okay, Kings, that's it. You know, we're going to kind of shut you down. And one goal this team has given up in the last three games, whether it's goaltending, which has been phenomenal. But it's more than that. It's defending. It's Carrick, I thought, really described it well, where, you know, if they break the puck out so well, that the other team can't get in on a forecheck. And then he is a forechecker, so he knows what he's talking about when he says, if you're a forechecker and you can't get your forecheck going, you get extremely frustrated. And I think we saw that tonight, too. So just a lot of ingredients, I think, that have gone into this road trip where they're 3-0, and as I mentioned, have only given up one goal.
Thompson also, to pile on your point, Paul, Thompson says how they're buying into this defensive mindset. He said it's maturity. But he said, you know, the fact that now we're winning all these puck battles, he said it's becoming very frustrating for the other teams to play against. And then he said, yeah, that used to be us, essentially. Like, we used to be the team annoyed that we had to go against that team. He's like, now that's us.
I was just as impressed, not quite honestly, when he broke up that 3-on-2. When he got back and he just put his head down and he skated and made it a 3-on-3. And it didn't turn into anything because he got back. Kings had nothing. That's frustrating for a team, too, thinking they have a 3-on-2 opportunity with some good players. And a guy, you know, their leading scorer is the one that puts his head down to get back to make it a 3-on-3. I appreciate those plays and the play Benson made, you know, to, you know, take a hit to make it play. You know, some players won't do that, you know.
Yeah.
Some players who ask to be traded who aren't here anymore won't do that. They're not going to take a hit to make a play. And he will do it all the time. And with his size, it doesn't probably feel great either. But you know what did feel great to him? It's when the puck wandered in the net. That's when he feels great, because the sacrifice that he made resulted in a goal.
Real quick on the goal, Paul, it really, in some sense, ends the game, not only because Buffalo gets the game winner there, but they challenge for the high stick. It stays, which leads to a power play, which Buffalo then piles on to go up 3-1. What did you think about the challenge and the call for it to stick?
Well, I definitely thought it was a high stick, as did most of the people I've asked. But now my question is this. Is it the angle of the camera, which is angling down?
Right.
Is the NHL saying, well, is it an optical illusion? We can't tell. I mean, if they didn't get any angle like dead on the ice, you know, coming across, then they might say, well, is that, we can't say for sure it's a high stick, because is it an optical illusion because the camera is coming down, facing down? I know, maybe it's the only thing I can think of, because when I saw the replay, that went, all right, that's coming back. I just thought for sure it was a high stick, as did others. Yeah, maybe they just thought there's not conclusive evidence that can take that away. I wanted to ask you, too, all right, go ahead. I was going to go to something else. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if Benson, even being a little shorter, Paul, if maybe the illusion is like that it was higher than really it was, and maybe we have to take a step back of that, too. Maybe, you know, I mean, we always judge it when it's around the net. Like, hey, was the stick above the crossbar kind of thing, right? Like, maybe right. Because Benson's shorter, that it looked like it was actually higher than it really was. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, kind of like you were talking it out. Like, maybe what did they see? Yeah.
Right, exactly. And they have sent out the email. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but and why they made the decision that they made. It's just, you know, one went in the Sabres' favor. And not only that, they wind up scoring the power play goal, and that's what I was going to jump to. I was going to ask you, is that goal now unassisted?
Yeah, that Thompson assist went away. Let's see, did they take Norris's assist away too? Yes, he now has one.
Okay, so it's because
now it's unassisted.
CC.
Yes.
Yeah. So they decided, since it went in off CC, they made it an unassisted goal.
Yep. And initially, I know, and you know, look, the way Zucker celebrated and everything, maybe we thought Zucker had it, but then you're right. He was a reason for the goal, even though he doesn't get a point, and now Norris and Thompson don't either. But obviously, if Zucker's not there, Paul, you know, obviously maybe that doesn't go in.
Well, that's when you take a shot like that, that's the thing. Can you get chaos going in the crease? Yes, you can. And that's exactly what happened. And I don't know if I saw a different angle than you folks saw, because I saw the LA feed, but the feed I saw right away, I knew CC put it in. You could see it went in off his glove. But it was a bouncing puck all over. I may even hit Zucker. No, didn't hit Zucker on the way to CC because Zucker would have got credit for the goal then. So, yeah, it just hit CC. But still, who's causing havoc? Zucker, like he always is when he's there. That's why he's there on the power play. And I don't blame Los Angeles for challenging that play. I think I would have too. But the thing is, you basically, if you're wrong, you basically have taken yourself right out of the game because Buffalo's did score on the power play.
Yep. All right, Paul, we'll off to Anaheim for another one tomorrow. I guess back-to-back, this is about as good as it gets. You go from a 1 o'clock game out west to what would be a 5, so you get a couple of extra hours, and these two cities are pretty close to each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll be there in less than an hour, you know, unless traffic gets wild. I don't live here. Of course, no traffic can get wild. I don't know what traffic is like right now, but if traffic is not wild, they will get there in less than an hour. So, you know, they'll be able to get rested. And you know what? Even if they lose the game, to come out here and win 3 out of 4, if that were the case, which I'm not saying it's going to be, you know, I don't think you're going to be unhappy with that.
I would agree. Okay, Paul, well, you have safe travels to Anaheim, and we'll talk tomorrow on the pregame show.
Okay, take care.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton in L.A. He will travel just a little south down to Anaheim to take on, as the Sabres take on the Ducks tomorrow. Paul and I will be with you with pregame at 7, and then face-off, Dan and Rob will have the call at 8 o'clock. Hey, send us some tweets. I read them after each and every game. At Brian, B-R-I-A-N, W-G-R, as we'll get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. We'll read some of those coming up in just one moment. We'll also get scores from around the league. We'll get our save of the game, all to come here. But at this time, we're going to say goodbye to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com. Click on that listen button up in the upper right-hand corner. Or you can listen anywhere on the Odyssey app. Search WGR and turn us on. Post game will continue. Buffalo wins again. This wild wagon for the Sabres continues. They beat Los Angeles 4-1. I'm Brian Kulziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Rasmus Dahlin, who will control the puck and slowly make his way up towards the red line before he feeds it a little bit ahead of Ballenstein, who finishes his check down low on Dumoulin.
There's a check right there, which ends up being our collision of the game. Brought to you by Dan Chacha Injury Attorneys. Don't worry, Chacha's gotcha. Dan Dunleavy on the call. He's also got this call for our save of the game, and it belongs to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Byfield can't get it out, but it could be a 3-on-2 for the Kings on the counter. Moore up the middle can't make the play to the net. Luukkonen, oh, big save there. Ooh. That puck, he finds somehow at the far post and then freezes it at the top of the blue paint.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, one of his 26 saves. The save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. 4-1, Sabres win. Just continue to pile up wins here as we're going to go and read some tweets. Send them in after each and every game at Brian WGR. All right, let's read them here. Ryan, talking about Carrick, says one of the best deadline deals in recent history. For sure, no doubt about it. You can probably throw that with some of the best ever, but lately for sure, no doubt about it. Let's see here. Ron, the balance scoring with this club is amazing. Yep, Lindy talked about it. All four lines are contributing for sure. No doubt about it. Jeff says, don't worry, Brian. I bet Del Reed will have the, quote, everybody ropes shirt out by Monday. Yeah, Del, there you go. You got something. I don't know. You got the rope with the wagon. You know, it's got to work. You know, I don't know if Sabretooth is the one that's doing the rope with the wagon. He's on the wagon. I don't know, but yeah, If you missed it from earlier, Tage Thompson had a great quote here. I want to get to it. Let me see if I can find it here. Hold on. I got so many. Oh, yeah. Thompson says one of their slogans inside is, quote, everybody ropes, everybody rides. Says it's infection. Everybody cares about winning. Yeah. Love it. Let's see. Classic Buffalo Sports Video says, Sam Carrick scores his fifth goal in eight games as a Sabre. The only guys to do it faster was John Tucker in 83 and Pat LaFontaine in 1991. They did their fifth goal in seven games. Okay. Good stats there. Thank you very much. Classic Buffalo Sports Videos with that tweet. All right, let's see. Others. Jim says, Lukanen and Lyon back and forth, still can't debate who I want in game one. Going to be a fun debate for all of us for sure. I would agree. Yeah, this is going to be really, really a storyline and a good storyline. Like, what do you do with the goalies? If it kind of stays like this the rest of the regular season, like, what do you do when it comes to the playoffs? Robbie says this winning streak is fun to watch. I would agree. I am really, really enjoying this after many, many years of watching some bad stuff. That's our fans as we get connected with them. Powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Thank you for sending them in after each and every game. All right, let's get to our drive around the league next. And it's brought to you by AAA, the official partner of the Buffalo Sabres. All right. What games are we focused on tonight? I'm going to give you a score, and you're like, why are you giving me the score? It's not even a score. 10 o'clock tonight. Hasn't started yet. That's the game. Tampa at Edmonton. Want to secure that Atlantic Division title? Get that banner up? I was just talking to Evan about it during the break. He's got a good point. Division title means a banner, right? Tampa at Edmonton, 10 o'clock. Got to root for the Oilers. All right, finals from earlier. Philadelphia wins in San Jose 4-1. Minnesota in overtime gets by Dallas 2-1. Nashville 4-1 winners against Vegas. A shootout win for the Penguins. They beat Winnipeg 5-4. Games that are going on right now. Montreal already has a 1-0 lead. They're 5 minutes into the game against the Islanders. Slafkovský with the goal for the Canadiens. Late third period, Columbus trying to hold on. They beat Seattle. Or they are leading Seattle 4-2. They are trying to stay in the top three in the Metro. Toronto and Ottawa scoreless. 11 minutes to go in the first period. Also scoreless between St. Louis and Vancouver. 10:23 to go in that one. One other game has not started yet. That'll be at 8. Boston and Detroit. That game is on ABC if you're looking for something to watch. All right, let's give the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. Maybe some of you listening were at KeyBank Center either Thursday or today. Games that were in Buffalo, Michigan has a big second half. They beat St. Louis 95-72 to advance to the Sweet 16. Also moving on from the Buffalo game today, Michigan State defeats Louisville 77-69. So both Michigan and Michigan State off to the Sweet 16. Games going on right now. Duke pulling away from TCU. 5:36 to go. They lead 68-50. So it looks like the Blue Devils will go on to the Sweet 16. At the half in the South region, Houston up big on Texas A&M, 46-28. And midway through the first half in the West region, Gonzaga has a 18-15 lead on Texas. Three games more to go tonight. At 7:50, Illinois plays VCU. At 8:45, it'll be Vanderbilt in Nebraska. And at 9:45, High Point, who had the upset of the first round as they took out Wisconsin. They played John Calipari and the Arkansas Razorbacks. Love that song. Gets me fired up for hoops. Got a chance to watch the Michigan St. Louis game. I was at KeyBank Center for that this earlier this afternoon before I came back to do Sabres pregame and obviously now postgame. It was fun being in that building. Buffalo again. Just talking with some people down there, they're saying that they're getting rave reviews and that the NCAA really, everything at KeyBank Center for them in terms of what the NCAA needs, they've got it. And they're also getting good crowds. Both sessions on Thursday was over 17,000. They have great attendance compared to some of these other sites where they were having trouble selling tickets. So kudos to everybody that went. This is why, you know, Buffalo is going to get the event every 3 to 4 years. 2029 has not been awarded yet. When the bids go out, I think there's a good chance that Buffalo may get it back again. So if you're a hoops fan and you enjoy it, that should be something to look forward to. And you know what? You saw some of these teams now. You can watch them go. I mean, there's a great chance that there's going to be some teams that end up in the Final Four that have played here. And, I mentioned Michigan and Michigan State for sure. The injury report here from this game brought to you by Hamburg Overhead Door. Is your garage door injured? Call the experts at Hamburg Overhead Door to get your door healthy again. Good news, as far as we know, no injuries from this game. All six scratches from this game today were healthy. So next up tomorrow with Anaheim, it'll be Lions' turn to go back in the net to see if they can keep it going. But how about that? Just one goal against in these three road games. 2-0 win in Vegas, 5-0 win in San Jose, and a 4-1 win today in Los Angeles. So tomorrow it'll be the Sabres and the Ducks, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock pregame. Paul and I will be with you. Paul will be live in Anaheim, and we'll have it for you right here on our flagship WGR, and then at 8 all across the Sabres radio network. All right, with that, we're going to say goodbye to all of you. Got some time to still watch some hockey and some hoops if you want for the rest of the night. And we'll be on tomorrow, 7 o'clock for pregame. Thank our crew. Evan DePasquale, our network producer. Thank you, Evan. Kyle Powell on our social media. Check out his game story, WGR550.com. Tom Matty is our engineer. Paul Hamilton is our reporter. And for our great game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, I'm Brian Colesdale. I thank you for listening. Again, the final from Los Angeles, Sabres 4, Kings 1. We'll talk to you tomorrow night with the Sabres in Anaheim right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.